Remember who you are. Remember who you are. You've become something that you were not meant to be. I love that little clip.
Yes, it's powerful.
You know, and he starts off, he lives in you. And many of us have lost sight of who we are or who we're meant to be. And many of us have lost something, you know, and we've lost sight of the calling that is on our lives. And maybe we never even saw, but we were meant to live as sons and daughters. You know, from the moment we were born again, we became a son or a daughter to the Father. And, you know, as we talked about in the first session, we were, you know, our destiny, our identity was to live in that place of intimacy with the Father, to live in that place of close relationship with the Father, to live in that place where we only seek to do His will. But some of us, through a whole number of reasons, maybe through the hurts and the pains that we've carried, maybe through the busyness of family life, work life, church life, you know, we lose sight of who we were really meant to be, who we really are. And we lose sight of the fact that this amazing Heavenly Father is living inside of us. And we've lost sight of the great calling and destiny that is on our lives to live as sons and daughters in the same way as Jesus lived as a son. And, you know, I believe that what Father is doing is causing us to rediscover that. And, you know, this is not plan B. This is the restoration of plan A. You know, God only has one plan. The plan that He started out with in the garden is His only plan. And He's done everything to make plan A happen. And plan A is simply that you and I live as sons and daughters. And I love that little clip because, you know, Simba's reminded to live as who he really is. You know, remember who you are. Remember who you are. And many of us have forgotten who we really are because something in our hearts has closed down. Just after my dad died, I was 10 when he died. When I was 12, I was sent to a boarding school where I spent the next 6 years. And I got to the boarding school and I was shown to my bedroom. Now, at home, I had my own bedroom, in my own furniture, in my own toys, my own things. It was my room. And then I was shown to the room I was going to be in the boarding school, and they opened the door to this room, and there were 7 beds down one side and 7 beds down the other side. And I suddenly realized, oh, this is not my bedroom. And I, for a variety of reasons and, you know, things that happened on that first night, I closed my heart. I made a conscious decision to close my heart. Now, I didn't say those words, I closed my heart. But what I did was I realized that if I was going to survive in that environment, I needed to protect myself. And so as a 12-year-old boy, I did what that girl did in the sofa. I did that. And I stayed that way for the next very long, long time. I stayed that way for nearly 30 years with a closed heart. And it was only in 2002 when I had what I can only describe as a baptism into the Father's love, that my heart began to be opened. Now, I closed my heart in an instant, and it takes a long time to open it back up again. And many of us, through situations and circumstances, will have closed our heart in one way or another to one thing or another. And this relationship with the Father, like any relationship, is a heart relationship. You know, I know that as I've begun to open my heart again, my relationship with my wife and with my children has changed, because I'm starting to relate to them more out of the heart. You know, I don't think I totally related to Fiona out of my head, and I don't think I totally related to my kids out of my head, but, you know, as my heart is becoming more and more open, I know that I'm having more of a, much more of a heart connection with my family. And, you know, that's one of the tremendous fruits, if you like, of living with an open heart to our Heavenly Father, is that our heart becomes open to other people. And, you know, I can guarantee that you can look at your own life, you can look into your own heart, and you can see areas where you've closed your heart down to other people, you've closed your heart down to situations. You've done it because you wanted to protect yourself. You've done it because you wanted to be safe. You've done it because you realise that this is a dangerous world and people have long knives and sharp arrows that they want to stick into your heart, and they'll do it on any occasion they can. And so our natural response is to close our heart and try to protect our heart from those arrows that are fired at us. And we do it, you know, in the right motive and the right reason to try and keep ourselves safe. But whenever we close our hearts, and for some people like me, it was a conscious decision, it was a conscious choice. For other people, it's not maybe so conscious, but the effect is the same, that their heart becomes closed. And whenever we close our heart, that part of our heart is not open to the love of the Father. You know, because it's like God pours his love into our heart, but it just bounces off that part of the heart. You know, it might find a place of rest and a place of residence in other parts of our heart, but these areas that we've closed off are not open to receive the Father's love. And our heart is so important, that when we talk about relating to God as a father, we're talking about a heart relationship. We're not talking about a head relationship. We're talking about a connection of two hearts, his heart and our heart, so that we would know that we are loved in the same way that Jesus is loved. That's, you know, the point of it. And yet if our hearts are closed, we cannot receive that love being poured into our hearts. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and if we're in any doubt as to who that is, he says, it's the Father of glory. So when he's talking about, you know, God, he's saying, you know, I'm remembering him in my prayers, that the Father will give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts opened so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. See, Paul is praying there that you and I would be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation in our knowledge of God the Father, so that something inside of us would be opened up, that we can see who God really is, that we can have a revelation of the knowledge of God the Father. And we can only have that when the eyes of our hearts are opened. Because when the eyes of our hearts are opened, we know the hope of our calling. See, we are called to be sons and daughters. We are called to live as sons and daughters. We're not called to be slaves. We're not called to be orphans. A slave can only point people to a master. But a son or a daughter points people to a father. See, we were not called to be slaves. We were set free from the yoke of slavery. We were set free from the things that bound us. And our calling, our true calling, is to live as sons and daughters. But many of us have lost sight of that. Many of us have forgotten who we really are. And so we've ended up living as slaves. We've ended up living as orphans. And yet God the Father is saying, I want you to have a spirit of revelation of me as your Father, so that you would really know who you are, that you are my sons and daughters. And it, this revelation of who we are, this revelation of who he is, comes as the eyes of our hearts are opened. As those closed places, those shut down places begin to open up again. See, Paul says, and we've already mentioned in Romans 5:5, he says, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. See, that verse always used to frustrate me. You know, why am I not disappointed by hope? I spend my life being disappointed, you know. I'm always hoping for things that never happen. You know, I hope one day I'll have a really, really nice fast sports car. Well, it never happens. You know, I hope one day that I'll win the lottery. It never happens, probably because I never buy a ticket. You know, we all have these hopes and dreams, and a lot of them don't happen. And so we end up disappointed. And I always used to get very cross with this verse, you know, hope doesn't disappoint. And I'm thinking, well, I'm full of disappointment. And then it says, because God's love has been poured into our hearts. And I thought, well, that's nice. That's cozy. That's very sweet. And then one day I turned it round the other way. And I read it like this. Because God's love has been poured into my heart, I can have hope. Because God's love has been poured into my heart, I can go through perseverance. I can go through suffering, which is Romans 5:3-4. You know, because God's love has been poured into my heart, I can go through these things and I will not be disappointed because I have the assurance of the knowledge of his love in my heart. I have the assurance of knowing that I'm a son or a daughter. See, the heart is central to everything. And, you know, but many of us have got these areas that are like closed, locked doors in our heart where we've shut off part of our heart and we've said to God, God, you can have all the nice bits of my heart, but there's a few bits of pain in my heart that are locked behind a door. And I don't want to let you in. And do you know what? God is an English gentleman. Yeah? Yeah? He is very polite. You know, he will...
That's awfully nice.
Awfully nice. He will not... You know, he's not a bully. If we keep our hearts closed, he longs that we open them up. He desires that we open them up. He woos us and he draws us to him in the hope that we can say, Father, here I am, pain and all. But he doesn't knock the door down. He waits till we come and say, Father, will you come and pour your love into my heart? Father, I know there are broken, wounded areas of my heart. And Father, will you come and pour your love into those areas? Will you cause them to be opened up? And when we do the week-long A schools, that we call them, we the first day is a really nice day. We talk about the love of the Father. We give you a biblical basis and understanding for it. It's all lovey-dovey and all very nice. And then on Tuesday morning, we start going into some of the hindrances and the blockages to receiving the Father's love. And we have 3 days in the middle of the week where we go through some of these blockages, not to put anyone to shame or anything, but not to expose anyone, but to allow them to come to that place where they can say, yes, this is a blockage and I want to let it go. And we see the Father pouring his healing love into to hearts and lives and transforming lives, because people have come to that place where they can say, yes, I've got a blockage. Yes, I've got a hindrance, but I can see something greater that I want and I'm prepared to open my heart up. And sometimes those days in the middle of the week are very painful. Sometimes we get through many boxes of tissues. But the fruit is an open heart. And when we have an open heart, the Father can pour his love into it. See, it's not flicking a switch to make him love us. He's loving us already. He loves us with an everlasting love. He's always loved us. You know, we were in his mind before the beginning of time. You know, he saw our unformed bodies before we were in our, you know, when we were in our mother's womb. He knew what colour hair we would have. He knew what colour eyes we would have. He knew where we would live. He knew the date we would be born. I was born on the 30th of April at 10 minutes to midnight. And I was born at home, and my mum and dad were there, obviously. After the midwife had finished doing whatever midwives do, she picked up her piece of paper and she wrote down on her piece of paper, boy, born 10 minutes past midnight on the 1st of May. And my dad said, no, he was not born on the 1st of May. He was born on the 30th of April. And apparently, I don't remember it, but apparently they had an argument for a good few minutes of whether I was born on the 30th of April or the 1st of May. I mean, I don't know why they had to have the argument, but my dad won in the end. And because that was the day that God had in plan for me, you know. He knew that Mark was going to make his grand entrance to the world on the 30th of April. And so, you know, that was the date, not the 1st of May. It was the 30th of April. See, God knows all those things about us. He knows everything about us. And it's not a case of us doing anything that flicks a switch that starts him loving us, because he is loving us already. He's always loved us. He loves everybody that's walking around Bridge North today. Whether or not they know him, whether or not they ever will know him, he loves them in exactly the same way as he loves Jesus. Now, we have to get our heads around that, but that's the truth. You know, he's not concerned whether we're Christians or not Christians, whether we've been good or bad, whether we're beautiful or ugly or whatever we like. He loves every person in exactly the same way as he loves Jesus. And there's nothing we can do to flick the switch to make him love us anymore, or to make him stop loving us as much as he does. But we've got these areas of our heart that are closed, that we've shut down through circumstances or whatever. And he is a jealous God. He longs for all of our heart. If we only give him a bit of our heart, he'll take it, but he longs for more of it. And he longs that we would just say, Father, there's a lot of pain in my heart. There's a lot of wounds in my heart. There's a lot of brokenness in my heart. But Father, I can see that you are always good. Like my friend I was telling you about at the beginning, she said, God is always good. And if we can come to that place and say, I don't know whether I can trust you, but I want to. And I want to trust you with this wounded, broken heart. You know, Father, will you come and pour your love into my heart? Because, you know, that's where he lives. John 14 verse 23, Jesus is saying, I'm going back to my Father, and then we will come and make our home with you. That's got to be one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Yes. You know, we will come and make our home with you. See, God never wanted a temple. He didn't want to be put in a box behind a big curtain. That was our great idea. We've had a lot of good ideas in our history, and they haven't always been God's ideas. And I think when the temple curtain was torn in two when Jesus died on the cross, I think God said, yes, at last, I can get out of this stupid box and I can live where I've always wanted to live. I can live in the hearts of my people. See, that's what he said to them right back in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. He said, I am your God. You are my people. I will dwell amongst you. So what did we do? We built a box and put him in it. That wasn't what he wanted. He wanted to dwell in our hearts. He wanted to have the relationship with us that he had with Adam and his wife before they sinned in the garden. He wanted to come alongside us and walk with us and talk with us. And, you know, we know that that didn't happen. And I think when that curtain was torn in two, he says, I can get out of this place and I can come and live in their hearts. Because Jesus had already said, we will come and we will make our home with you. Now, I know what my heart's like. And if I was God, I wouldn't want to make my home in my heart. because I know what my heart's like. You know, my wife knows me pretty well. We've been married 31 years. You know, often we'll open our mouths and say the same thing. You know, we'll be talking about something, we'll just say the same thing. You know, she knows what I like and I know what she likes. She knows what I feel about things, I know what she feels. But there are still some things in my heart that I think she doesn't know. She probably does, because she's kind of like the Holy Spirit, really. So knows all things. But there are some things that go on in my heart that nobody knows about. All those attitudes that we keep to ourselves. The only problem is we have this hole here, don't we? Which most of the time we manage to sort of keep shut and stop things coming out. But just occasionally, something comes out that we wish hadn't, because it reveals the state of our heart. And so we know what our hearts are like, but that's the very place that God the Father says, hey, that's my home, because I want to dwell amongst you. I want to be your God and I want you to be my people and I want my presence to go with you. See, that's why he longs for, you know, he'll live in whichever bit of the heart we give him. But he longs that we open all of our heart to him so that he can live and fill all of our heart with his love. That's the living water that we were talking about earlier. It's very easy for us to arrive at the wrong conclusion about the state of our hearts, isn't it? You know, we read Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, and it says, the heart is deceitful above everything else. And we go, yes, the heart is deceitful. My heart is deceitful. My heart is bad. And we convince ourselves that we've got a bad heart. You know, Ezekiel writes in Ezekiel 11:19, that we have a heart of stone. Yep, I've got a heart of stone. My heart's stone. And that's the way it is, because that's what Ezekiel said. So I've got a deceitful heart and I've got a heart of stone. And then, you know, Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he's talking about adultery and all sorts of other things. And, you know, what is in your heart comes out of your mouth, you see. And it's not a very happy picture some of the times. And it's very easy for us to convince ourselves that our heart is bad and it's okay. And yeah, our hearts might be a bit stony and our hearts might be a bit deceitful, but that's not the whole picture. See, our hearts receive a transformation. And King David knew that when he wrote in Psalm 86, verse 11. He said, unite my heart to fear your name. Give me an undivided heart. So the longing of David's heart was, he looked into his own heart and he saw the rubbish that was there. But he said, oh, Father, do something. You know, after he'd sinned with Bathsheba in Psalm 51, he writes that amazing psalm of restoration. You know, Father, I have sinned, but you are my only hope. Father, come and transform this broken heart. And he was able to receive that transformation of his heart because he knew what his Father was like. He knew what his Heavenly Father was like. And Jesus knew exactly the same thing. Jesus knew that it is possible for our hearts to go through this transformation. That we, instead of thinking, oh yeah, my heart's rubbish, my heart's stony, my heart's deceitful. Instead of thinking all that, we can come to the place where, yes, it is possible for our hearts to be transformed. And the only way our hearts are transformed are by receiving the love of the Father and living in his love. And it takes a step of faith. It takes a step where we can say, Father, I cannot do this on my own anymore. I need you to help me. And Solomon writes in Proverbs 4, verse 23, he says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And I've come to see that there is a big, big difference between a closed heart and a guarded heart. You see, a closed heart is something we've done to close our heart, to protect it. What we actually do is we keep the pain in and we keep his love out. You know, we think we're protecting it. We think we're doing the right thing. We think we're trying to keep our heart safe. But actually all we've done is we've locked the pain in. That's a closed heart. But a guarded heart is when we open it. We let the pain and the brokenness go. And we allow his love to fill us. And we guard it so we keep it. So instead of keeping love out, we keep pain out. And we keep love in. And when Solomon wrote those words, "Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life," he understood something. He understood that our relationship with the Father was based in our heart. He understood that our relationship with the Father was something that to be treasured. He understood that our relationship with the Father was a deep, intimate connection. That something that the enemy longs to steal away from us. Jesus said the enemy has come like a thief to kill, steal and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. And we have an enemy that wants to attack our hearts. And the enemy attacks our hearts from the moment we are born. And as little children, many of us suffer wounds from our parents, from our siblings. We grow up in an education system that is not perfect. Unless Mike's your teacher. We, as children, our sensitive hearts are wounded. And, you know, none of our parents received the love they needed. So they can't love us perfectly. So they only pass on to us what they've received. And we do the same with our kids. And our little sensitive heart closes down. And Solomon recognizes that as we open it up and as it's healed and as we are restored and as the Father pours his love into our hearts, so we are vulnerable because we have an enemy who wants to steal it away from us. And that's why he says, guard it. And it's so different having a guarded heart to a closed heart. You know, the more the Father pours his love into our hearts, the more we need to safeguard it, to keep his love in and keep that enemy at bay. And actually, you know, the more we're filled with love, the less the enemy can do to us. Because light and darkness cannot exist together. And the more we are filled with the light of his love, the more that light gets rid of the work of the enemy in our hearts. That is an exciting thought. That love living in us is the very thing that will protect us from the enemy. Because light and darkness cannot live together. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. The more we live in love, the more fear has to go. It cannot live together. Love and fear cannot live together. And the more we're filled with the love of the Father, the more the fear has to go. And we live in a fear-based society. Just read the news. I had a really interesting conversation with a client the other day. He's not a Christian. And I've known this guy for maybe 20 years or so. And I've acted as his accountant for that length of time. And he's just retired. And he came in to see me and I said, "How are you enjoying your retirement?" He said, "It's wonderful." He said, "I walk the dogs, I ride the horse," you know, all these things that he couldn't do when he was working. And he said, "You know what?" He said, and this was obviously a big thing to him. He said, "I only watch the news once a day." I said, "That's interesting." I said, "You know, I didn't expect this to be in your happy retirement. So what? Why? You know, tell me more." He said, "I know so many people who are retired, and all they do is watch the news. And when they're not watching the television, they're looking at it on their phones or their iPads, or when they go down to the shops, they pick up the newspaper." And he said, "All they do is read the news all day long, and they are miserable and depressed." He said, "I've made up my mind. My wife and I have made up our minds. We are going to watch the news once a day, and that's it." And he said, "We're not." And then he said, "We're not going to let all that stuff that's going on in the world, which is actually fear-based, mm-hmm. drag us down. I thought, you know, that is an amazing testimony. This guy's not a Christian, but he's actually seen something that, you know, it's easy to live in a fear-based society. Mm-hmm. Now, he doesn't know the love of the Father yet, but he's actually chosen to step away from the fear. Mm-hmm. See, love and fear cannot live together. And the more we are rooted and grounded in love, the more fear has to go. And that's what my second book, Planted in Love, is all about, is how we can become planted in love in our daily lives, and how the love of the Father affects you going to work, how it affects your family, how it affects your children, how you can walk out and live out this relationship with the Father. Because he wants his love to be the very source of our life. He wants his love to be the resting place. But it all comes down to the state of our hearts. And many of us, I know, will have closed our hearts. Many of us may have chosen to do that deliberately, maybe through very, very painful and difficult circumstances. But the Father wants to come. And as we give him those broken places, as we give him our hearts, as we tentatively open them up to him, maybe you can't say, I trust you. But maybe you can say, Father, I want to trust you. And just tentatively give him this thing that is your heart. And say, Father, here it is. Will you pour your love into my heart? Because as our hearts are touched, our lives will be transformed. I'm just going to put a little bit of music on for a few minutes and just pray. But just ask you to receive what Father wants to do in your heart. You know, you might want to put your hand on your heart or something. You might just want to just sit there and just relax, just be at peace. But just let the Father come and pour his love in. He's actually loving us already. You know, every moment of every day he's loving us. And all we have to do is receive it. So Father, would you just come to us now? We thank you that you're here. Father, thank you that you've been with us every moment of every day. Father, thank you that you've always loved us. That you are the eternal Father. Father, thank you that you're loving us now. Father, you know the brokenness of our hearts. You know the pain of our hearts. You know all those areas in our heart that are closed down for whatever reason, where we've sat with our fists clenched across our heart, seeking to protect something, but actually keeping the pain in. And so, Father, we just come and give you our hearts today. And ask you just to pour your love into our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Father, we receive your love. We thank you that it's freely poured out. Father, thank you that you love each one of us as you love your Son Jesus. Father, that we are loved with the same intensity and passion of love that you have for Jesus. And so, Father, just pour your love into our hearts. Father, we long for our hearts to be open fully to you. That you would take us on this journey. Father, take us on this journey deeper and deeper into you. That we would know you. Not know about you, but we would know you. That we would know you, that we would know that you truly are our Father, that you've always been our Father, and that you long to be a Father to us. Father, we're sorry of those times that we've struggled on our own and tried to work it out on our own and tried to live life on our own. And Father, we know we've not made a very good job of it. So we lay down our striving, we lay down our own effort, and we ask you to come. Jesus, would you reveal your Father to us this morning? Jesus, would you show us what your Father is like, what our Father is like? That we would receive this love that you have for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we would drink living water today. We would drink living water. Thank you, Father. Father, help us to remember who we really are. We are your sons and daughters. We're not slaves or orphans, but we're your children. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we might be called the children of God. For that is who we are. Father, lavish your love upon us now. Lavish your love upon us. That we wouldn't see an angry, distant God, but we would see a happy, smiling Father who is embracing us with his love.